Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Raymond Burr Podcast. We have Fort Laramie for you, and on Fort Laramie tonight, this is the last episode that is written by Les Crutchfield, and he goes out with a bang. This is probably one of my absolute favorite episodes of the entire series, and this episode, it's about honor, it's about heart, it's sad in some places. Touches all the things that make Fort Laramie so great. So I hope you're really going to enjoy this episode. And from here on out, there's like one more written by someone else. I can't remember which writer writes that last episode by another writer. And then from there on out, it's all Kathleen Height all the way. And we'll get more into Kathleen Height. I was just reading some more about her and doing some research on Gunsmoke and run into her a lot. So we'll have a lot more to share on her. Anyway, enjoy this episode and we'll see you next time.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Back up there, you all right junk of Sparrow and Crow Bay. Knock. Yeah, hold on. Hold. Hold. Yeah, come on. Now stand there easy before I take a notion to stand you with a club.
My. You're just a natural born horseman, ain't you, Yates?
Yeah, horses. All right, do squad chores in the barracks and turn off this blasted stable duty. Hold still there.
How'd you ever happen to join up in the cavalry anyhow?
Because you ride every place, that's what they told me. Sure you ride. Time man gets through babying up his horse, he's too old, fired, tired to walk.
Well, maybe you just ain't doing it right.
Currying him the way the sergeant said, now, ain't I? Curry him right down the ground and then clean up their hooves. All right, stand still there, you miserable. Clean up their hooves. Ain't nobody taking care of my feet in this army.
Why, there's no call for it, Yates. You ride every place.
Yeah, sure, I ride, and then I ride back. And I got calluses to prove it. You know, if I was... Hey. Look over there at Joby.
Joby Turler?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just talking to his horse again.
Oh, he's all the time doing that. He must be about half horse himself.
Oh, Joby's all right.
Hey, Joby, what are you telling her? The one about the engine princess and the corporal?
Oh, I'm sorry, Yates. I guess I wasn't listening.
Well, then, how about loaning me a chaw tobacco?
Well, I can't. I'm clean out.
You sure got out mighty fast. I seen you with a plug of Red Mule in your hand.
Oh, that ain't mine. What I mean is, it ain't for me.
And who is it for?
Well, it's for the mayor. It's bells.
What?
She's used to it, Yates. She always gets a chaw after her morning feed. And I only just got enough to last her until payday.
A horse. Getting her daily chaw pretty as it pleases me going without.
Well, you know, it's good for her, Yates. It keeps her cleaned out real good. Besides, I'm going without, too. I got none for myself.
Just what kind of man are you, Joby? Doing more for a horse than you'd do for the human race.
I'm sorry, Yates.
It's no wonder you ain't got a friend in the company.
I don't need no friends. Only time I got them is when they want some tobacco.
Go on, keep your tobacco. Save it for that jughead of yours.
Lay off him, Yates.
Hey, what you gonna do when they shoot her, Joby?
What?
First time old Doc gets a good look at her, that's what's gonna happen. You've been long overdue for a remount, Joby.
There ain't no vet gonna take Belle. Me and her staying together.
He already got his eye on her. If she was trotting lame yesterday, I'm afraid I seen her myself.
Shut up, Yates, you hear? You shut your mouth. I'll kill anybody tries to take her.
Hooey. Ain't you fright now? Injuns hear you talking that way, they all gonna vamoose to Kennedy.
Come on, Yates, let's go water the mounts.
Hey, what if Captain Quince tells you to get rid of her, Joby? You gonna kill him, too?
He's not gonna tell me.
Now, old Doc, he only makes a report. It's a captain puts out the list. Hey, Joby, what you gonna do if Captain Quince puts you on a remount order?
Yates, Yates, there ain't nobody gonna take Belle away.
Routine patrol, and in a way it's not. Yeah. Hand me that map there behind you, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. This one, Captain?
Yeah, roll it out there on the table. All right, that's good. Let's see now.
Sure a lot of empty spaces on it.
One of them is where we're going. Yeah, right in here.
Broken Plains country.
We'll move northwest out of Laramie as far as the Great Bow Bend, then due west till we pick up the East Fork of the Platte, wherever that is. Nobody's got around to mapping it yet.
We taking a surveyor, Captain?
No, not this time. All right, we'll follow the Platte south to about here, then swing back in. The route will depend on what we find.
Well, at least we won't find trouble. Not a tribe within miles of there.
No. Not now.
I don't follow you, Captain.
Well, Dove Clan is getting restless. They could be fixing to break treaty. If they do, Fort Fetterman can't hold them. They'll come right through the Broken Plains to join up with Limpin' Fox and his Cheyenne and the Black Hills. We might be campaigning in that country before the summer's over, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is reconnaissance. Water holes, nature of the terrain, so on. I'm taking Lieutenant Seibert, you, Corporal Dittman, and whatever troopers you've picked.
Oh, I got the list right here, Captain.
Oh, good. We'll move out at dawn. I'm figuring about 6 days...
You can't do it, sir. You just can't do it.
You come to attention, soldier. Just what are you doing in the orderly room, soldier?
Private Joby Turley, I want to talk to the captain.
How long you been in the Army, Turley?
Sergeant, it's my third hitch.
Hasn't anybody ever told you how to request an audience with a commanding officer?
Permission of the first sergeant.
All right, then why did you come busting in here this way?
Well, there wasn't time, Sergeant. I got to talk to the captain right away. I just got to...
Sergeant!
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, is Private Turley requesting an audience?
It sort of seems that way, sir.
Then it's granted. At ease, soldier.
Yes, sir.
Turley. Second platoon, around 10 years service, all in cavalry.
That's right, sir.
I've always wondered about that first name of yours, Joby.
Well, that's scriptural, Captain. It's really Job.
I see. Well, What was it you had to see me about, Turler?
Yes, sir. The remount order, sir. The list just been posted. I'm on it, Captain.
That so?
Well, you just can't do it. Me and her, we've been together since I first come with the second. And Belle, she ain't just another mount. She's a lot more than that. Well, she is to me.
Wait a minute. Am I to take it your horse has just been cashiered?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Bella Shannon. She's on the order, sir.
Have you got that vet's report handy, Sergeant?
Here you are, sir.
Bella Shannon, chestnut mare, stall 84. Breeder, Port Riley, remount service, fold in. You know how old that horse is, Turler?
Well, she ain't old at all, sir.
She's 11.
Well, but some horses is different from others, Captain. You ought to see her on the march. She's friskier than a young colt.
The report says she was lame on parade this week.
Oh, that wasn't nothing but a stone bruise, Captain Quince. Yes, sir, a little rock worked up in the frog. I took it right out. She's as good as ever, sir. There ain't nothing wrong with her legs. No, sir, not at all, sir.
Well, she's 11 years old.
Oh, but, Captain, you can't send her away.
All right, Turler. Understand, I'm not promising anything. But I'll take her off the order for the present. And I'll consider the matter further.
Thank you, Captain.
That's all, Turler.
Oh, yes, sir.
Sir? Thank you.
I had him on that list to go with us, Captain.
No, not fine.
But if he's going to...
How does he get along with the other men, Sergeant?
Keeps to himself, mostly. He does his job all right.
I see.
May I say something, Captain?
Go ahead.
I know how you feel, sir, but you got to do it. That horse is 11 years old, and she's showing lame. What's there to consider?
Nothing much. Just how to go about cutting out a man's heart without hurting him too bad.
Crail.
Yeah? You ever been in Africa?
Sure, I've been in Africa. In every place there is to be. What do you want to know about it?
How hot you get over there?
Oh, 120 maybe. More in some parts.
Well, then I'm right. It's just what I figured.
What's what you figured?
We done gone and taken a wrong turn back there somewhere. We are in Africa, Crail.
Last night in camp, he was bellyaching about the cold.
And there you are. Freezes you to death at night, burns you up in the daytime. Boy, it can't puzzle me out what the government wants with a country like this.
Well, ain't you heard the news, Yates?
What news?
The devil's getting overcrowded. He's aiming to put in an annex out here.
That's so. Well, he can... Oh, here comes Captain. Captain?
Yeah? What is it?
Well, sir, me and Crail was just saying, Captain, this is sure a mighty poor country to fight over.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. And it ain't the friendliest place we've been, sir.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that, soldier. For the next few years, you got a home in the Army.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince.
Yeah, what is it, Mr. Seibert?
Got some trouble at the rear of the column, sir.
Huh? Patrol! Halt! Come on, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
What kind of trouble, Mr. Seibert?
Private Turner's mount starting to show lame, Captain.
I see.
A wreck.
reckon it don't amount to nothing, sir. It may be at their stone bruise again.
Well, let's take a look. Oh, easy, girl, easy.
She was favoring that left foreleg, Captain.
Yeah, I see. It's hot, fevered. And it's starting to fill.
It's a pulled tendon, Captain. There's no question about it.
Well, Captain, sir, it ain't so bad. I can wrap
it. No, I agree with Sergeant Gorse. It's a tendon, no doubt of it. Mr. Syberts.
Yes, sir.
How do we stand?
Well, steady on the pace, sir. We're an hour and a half from tonight's bivouac, an hour and a half from sundown.
I see. Corporal.
Yes, sir.
Corporal, you were out in the point earlier. What's around us here?
Mostly open, a little rolling, a few cutbacks. General Falls to the south, with the water course there to the west.
Yeah, how far?
Oh, about 20 minutes, sir. 30, maybe, with a lame horse.
Water and forage?
Yes, sir, plenty. No steady flow, but a lot of pools. There's a high bank on the far side and a heavy sweetgrass all along the stream bed.
Yeah, thank you, Corporal. That's all.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Syberts.
Yes,
we'll bear west and bivouac at the watercourse.
Right, sir.
All right, Sergeant. Move him at a walk.
Yes, sir.
See, I can plaster that leg with mud tonight, Captain. She'll be all right in the morning.
Well, we'll see.
I'm sorry, sir.
So am I, soldier.
At the walk! Ho!
Mind if I join you, Captain?
Oh, sit down, Mr. Syberts.
It's a fine night, isn't it, sir?
Yeah. About as perfect as they come.
Cool, peaceful, clear as a bell. It's funny when you think about it.
What is it?
Well, the way things work out. This country we're in, 5 days now we haven't seen another soul. And chances are, the next time we come through, we'll have to fight our way.
Maybe not. Sioux may stand by their treaty.
I hope so.
So do I, Mr. Sabert. For all our sakes.
I know what you mean, sir. I didn't when I first came out from the point.
We all start green, Mr. Sabert.
I suppose.
Beg pardon, Captain.
Yes, Sergeant?
Sir, what are we going to do about that horse at Turler's?
Why, you know what we're going to do, Gorse.
When, sir?
I figured first thing in the morning, we'll shift the loads and give him one of the pack horses.
Does he know you're aiming to destroy her?
Well, he ought to. He's had 10 years in the cavalry.
I don't think he does, sir.
Huh?
He's had her down there at the end of the pool ever since we unsaddled, putting mud on her leg, walking her, standing her in the water. He keeps talking to her, Captain.
What is it you're trying to tell me, Gorse?
In the morning, sir, before we shoot that horse, we better take Joby's rifle and sidearm.
All right, Gorse. I'll talk to him. I guess I've been putting it off all evening, and I...
Indians!
They're up there along the edge of the bluff. Sergeant, form the men.
Right, sir.
Deploy it, skirmishers! Find cover and dig in. Fire at will.
More skirmishers!
Stand by for the moment, Syberts.
Yes, sir.
Corporal!
Yes, sir.
Get those horses under cover. Up against the bank, under that overhang.
Right, sir.
Check the men's positions, Mr. Syberts. Have them lay their fire along the edge of that bluff. It's the only target they'll have.
Yes, sir.
And put 2 men at the north end of the pool. It's brushy. They could slip in on us.
Right, sir. You think they're Sioux?
What's the difference? They're shooting at us. Carry on, Mr. Syberts.
Near dawn, Yates.
Another half hour, it will be.
That's when they're going to hit us, too. Right after dawn. That's how they always do.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, waiting up there right now, all along the edge of that bank, just waiting for dawn. And we're going to get it good.
What do you figure the captain's going to do, Yates?
I don't know. What do you think he can do? They got us pinned down good, and they know it. And so does he. And now they just wait. Ooh-wee. I seen that flash trail. You know, I could get me one right there if the captain let us fire back.
Yeah, says we gotta save ammunition.
What for? They ain't gonna give us time to use it up.
Them's the orders.
Well, you know I have me a belly full of orders in this army.
An hour from now, you might have a belly full of bullets.
You know where I'm gonna put my first shot when they hit us? Right in the back of Joby Turler's head.
Yeah. Always knew you was brave.
Well, it's him got us in this fix. Him and that crowbait horse of his.
Well, it'll be the captain that gets us out, if anybody does. Wonder what him and the sergeant's doing over there.
Well, I know what I'd be doing if I had anything to do it with. I'd be getting myself blind drunk.
Let's see his face, Gorse.
Yes, sir. Black circle painted there on his forehead. They're on the warpath, all right.
Yep. Yellow bars across the cheeks, white dot on the chin, red line over the bridge of the nose. They're Dove Clan. At least we know who we're up against.
Well, it's always nice to know, sir.
Yep. Let's get back to cover. It's almost light enough they can see us.
Yes, sir.
Captain, sir?
Yeah? What is it, Turler?
Captain, I heard the men talking. They're saying I'm to blame for all this.
Who's your commanding officer, Turler?
Huh? Well, you are, sir.
Who do you get your orders from?
From you, Captain.
Who ordered you to camp here last night?
Well, you did.
Then who's to blame?
Well, yes, but...
Forget it, Turler. We've got a fight coming up.
Yes, sir. Been praying in my mind all night.
Yeah, I know. Come on, Gorse. All right, hold it here. I figured about 20 of them, no more than 25.
They wouldn't even try to stand against us, Captain, if we was up there on the flat.
Yeah, but we're not. We've no way of getting there. They got us pinned down tight.
A mounted charge?
Well, we'd have to mount in the open. Maybe three or four of us would get in the saddle.
The way we stand, it's only a matter of time, sir.
Yeah, not much time at that. As long as they hold the top of that bank, they
got another one of our horses.
Yeah, no, if that was...
Gee, that was Bell!
Here, stay down, Turler!
That's Bell or Shannon!
Hey, get back to cover!
Crazy fool.
Let him go, sir.
We need every man we've got. Stay here, Sergeant. I'm going after him.
Watch yourself, sir.
The shotters. The shotter, they got no call to do that.
Now, she's as much army as we are.
No reason for him shooting a horse.
Here, Joby. You can borrow my pistol.
The pistol, sir? What for?
And I didn't figure you'd want to use your own.
I can't, sir.
She's in pain, Joby.
No.
Some things a man's got no choice about in this world. Now, if you don't, then I'll have to.
All right, Captain.
Here you are.
Yeah. But thank you, sir. Now, Belle.
Joby?
Yeah, I know, sir. They didn't have no call to do that.
I'll take my pistol now, Joby.
They didn't gain nothing by that. They didn't gain nothing at all.
Joby.
Dirty killer.
Here, come back here.
Dirty murderer.
Joby,
killer.
Come back here. Joby!
You all right, Captain?
Ah, Joby's out of his mind.
Well, he's going straight up the slope. I can't keep missing him, sir.
No, they're not. He's been hit twice already.
Captain, they're up in the open, all along the skyline. He's got them worried.
Yeah, have the men give him some cover, Sergeant.
Right, sir. As skirmishers, fire!
Mr. Seibert,
yes, sir.
Have them lay their fire along the ridge. They got targets on the skyline now.
Right, sir. Lay your fire along the ridge. In the name of heaven, what's keeping him on his feet, sir?
A heart, Sergeant. Crazy or not, that's a man up there.
Look, Captain, they're going to break. They're leaving the ridge.
Yeah, you're right. Come on, Gorse. He's still on his feet. And he's right at the ridge.
What is it, sir? What's happening?
That stunt was just insane enough to panic him, Mr. Seibert. They must think it's a trick. They're breaking, pulling back from the ridge. We got a chance now. We're going up.
I'll never understand it, sir.
Understand what, Mr. Seibert?
How he did it. 13 bullet wounds, and he still got all the way to the top.
Well, I guess something takes hold of a man at times like that.
But of all the least likely people, mild, meek little Joby Turler.
Meek or not, everybody's got at least one thing he'll live for, or die for.
But you'll have to admit, sir, it's usually something more than just a horse.
How would you feel, Mr. Seibert, if the one and only friend you'd ever had in this world was lying helpless at your feet? The only thing that you could do for him was to put a bullet in his brain.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald, and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Les Crutchfield, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Crucian, Tim Graham, and Barney Phillips.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. We'll be right back. You're not branded as a careless driver only because you zoom at 60 along a crowded highway or because you fail to heed a stoplight or stop sign. You're a bad driver, a careless driver, when your car is standing stock still at the curb, if it's parked in a no-parking zone, if it's too close to a fire hydrant, or if it's double parked. Are you a reckless driver even when your car is standing still? Remember, it's kid stuff to try to get away with something. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Look yonder, Mr. Dillon. It's Jeb Wingate, ain't it?
Yeah. I just hope he doesn't want to find some shade and talk for an hour. I want to get back to Dodge.
There ain't no shade to find around here. Lessons over that little rise.
Hello, Marshal. Chester.
Hello, Jeb.
How are you, Jeb?
Hey, that's fine. You fellas are carrying lariat ropes.
Oh, what's up, Jeb? You want somebody hung?
No, it ain't that. To help a poor fella out the other side of the mound there. He's got an old chewed-up single-tree wagon now his traces are busted.
Well, can't he tie them together?
Oh, they're too short already. I was riding over to my place for some rope, but maybe you can save me the trip.
I will help him, Jeb. Is he a friend of yours?
Oh, I never seen him before. Some poor, half-starved pilgrim. I feel kind of sorry for him, though. So you take care of him now.
Yeah, we will, Jeb. So long.
I'll be seeing you in Dodge one of these days.
Goodbye. Jeb must get awful lonesome living out here all by himself, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, I guess he likes it, Chester.
I don't see no man with no wagon.
You will in a minute. There he is.
Oh, yeah. Say, Jeb was sure right. And look at that horse, too.
Yeah, they make quite a pair, don't they? Hello.
Hello!
Here, you could use some rope, mister. Here's 30 feet. That ought to do.
I sure thank you.
Where are you headed?
Dodge, I guess.
You come far?
Montana territory?
Well, no wonder.
Another fella, he just left. He was going to help me, too. You live out here?
I'm the marshal in Dodge. You looking for work?
if they'll give it to me. I heard the Santa Fe's laying more track there.
Well, I know the agent. Maybe I can help you.
No, I wouldn't want to get you no trouble.
Trouble?
I'll come see you. And I'll fetch you another rope as soon as I can.
No need for that.
My name's Hook, Marshal. Arden Hook.
That's Chester Proudfoot, Hook.
How you do?
Pleased to make your acquaintance.
Well, we'll be seeing you.
Thank you kindly.
He keeps looking around like he thinks somebody's going to hit him any minute.
Well, maybe he's running from something, Chester.
Say, I'll bet that's it. You suppose the law's after him?
What for?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's a murderer.
Of what? Flies? Come on, let's do a little ride. Kitty. Have you seen Chester?
No, I haven't.
Well, he was supposed to meet me here. I guess I might as well wait for him, huh?
Chester's been living pretty quiet ever since you two got back to town the other day.
Yeah, he's broke, Kitty.
Being broke never stopped him. But there's a man who's really broke.
Who?
Arden Hook.
What?
Fellow Sam hired yesterday, over there. Haven't you seen him yet? I think he's been poor all his life.
What's he doing for Sam?
Oh, anything. Cleans the place up, mostly. He seems to know you.
Yeah, we ran into him out on the prairie.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
All right, so you made it, Hook.
Thanks to you. I'll be buying you a new rope soon, Marshal. I got me a job.
Forget the rope. You'll need your money for food and a bed.
Oh, Mr. Noonan, give me that shack out back. I can cook some there, too.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, it's going...
Hey, Sanders. Look. Well, what do you know?
Excuse me, Marshal.
What? Where are you going?
Wait a minute, you.
Yeah, it's him, all right.
Who are those men, Kitty?
You're Arden Hook.
Bill Centers and Ed Hoagler.
Yes.
They drift in once in a while.
Don't you remember Lawrence back in 56?
Matt, did I tell you that Mr. Podkin... Yes,
Kitty, wait a minute.
We remember, too.
I want to hear this.
Oh. We ain't very likely to forget, are we, Centers? No. And neither is any other man who rode with us. Where you been all these years, Hook? Tell us.
I've been around. All over.
I can't think of a single man who's seen you in Missouri for some 20 years.
I didn't mean Missouri.
No, I guess you didn't. Ain't a fitting place for the likes of you, is it?
We're wasting time talking to him, Hoagler.
You work in here, Hook?
Yeah.
Good. We'll have a little talk before we leave town. For old time's sake, huh? You go on about your work now. We'll see you later.
Matt, they're going to do something to him.
They're just a couple of riders, you say, Kitty?
That's all I know about him.
Yeah, maybe I can find out more.
How?
I think Hook's gone out to his room. Excuse me, Kitty. I'll be back in a little while.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggart, really started something. Tonight, the Calypso Boys join in. Ready, amigos?
Packs more pleasure. Packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
What are the names, Hook? Bell Center, Zed Hoagler?
You heard them?
Yeah, I heard them, but I don't know quite what they were talking about.
It's nothing, Marshal. I used to know them, that's all.
Uh-huh. New Missouri, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
They said something about Lawrence back in 56.
They were just talking.
Lawrence, Kansas. That was the first time it was raided by Missourians under General Atchison, wasn't it? You and Centers and Hoagler were with him, huh?
All right. I'll tell you. I was there. I raided across the border with him. I helped them sack Lawrence. I even killed a man. I killed him in cold blood. Marshall, he was trying to give up, and I shot him anyway.
The Centers and Hoagler don't hold that against you, do they?
Not hardly. Oh, they knew the man, but they didn't care about that.
And why are they after you, Hook?
The war didn't start at Fort Sumter in 61, Marshal. It started in 56, right here in Kansas, at Lawrence.
So?
I'll never know why I killed that man. But I swore I'd never kill another for any cause. So I run away.
There are a lot of men who didn't fight, Hook.
But I started out fighting, and then I quit. They don't forget that. Not Missouri, they don't. Maybe I am a coward. I don't know. But they're going to kill me, Marshal.
You're sure of that, huh?
I know them. And I know what they're like.
All right. Hook, I want you to stay here and Dodge.
And get killed?
And now they've found you, they'll follow you. You're safer in Dodge than you'd be anyplace else.
Well, I guess so.
You leave it to me. You'll be safe.
He'll run off if we don't go get him soon, Hoagler.
Where's he gonna run to?
Hoagler's right. He isn't running anywhere.
What?
Oh, Marshal, huh?
You're Hoagler?
You want something, Marshal?
Yeah. I want you to leave Arden Hook alone.
We ain't gonna bother Hook, Marshal.
Not if you're smart.
Little coward like that, I wouldn't feel right even touching him.
What happened a long time ago. Why keep it alive?
Was you in the war, Marshal?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in the war. But it's all over, and the sooner everybody forgets about it, the better.
We might have won if it wasn't for cowards like Arden Hook.
All right, there's no use arguing with you. But Hook's gonna stay here. And if anything happens to him, anything at all, I got enough evidence on you two to hang you.
Too bad you found out about all this, Marshal. Yeah, I guess there's nothing we can do now, Sanders.
You mean we're going to let that little coward go?
Yeah, we'll let him go. Who cares about him anyway? Bye, Marshal.
It's awful hot today, Matt.
Well, that's the sun, Doc. You see, it's the sun that makes it hot.
Oh, that's so, the sun. I was only making a comment. I wasn't asking for a scientific explanation.
Oh, excuse me, Doc. I didn't understand what you wanted.
Yeah, well, now that you've started it, I can tell you what the heat does to some people.
Oh, good. You tell me about that, will you, Doc?
Hello, Doc.
Hello, Chester.
Has either one of you saw Arden Hook today?
No, I haven't seen him for the past few days.
Why, Chester?
Well, they say Jeb Wingate's looking for him. It might mean a job of work, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, I doubt it. Jeb's always said he'd never have anybody working for him.
Well, if it ain't for a job, why would he be looking for him?
Well, I figure that's Jeb's business, don't you?
Yes, but here's Miss Kitty. Maybe she knows where he's at.
Now, I don't know why you're so concerned, Chester.
Well, sir, I still think it means a job for him.
Well, this is a busy-looking outfit.
Yeah, how are you, Kitty?
Miss Kitty, have you saw Arden Hook anywhere? It's really important.
No, Chester. Not since he left this noon.
Left? For where?
Well, Jeb Wingate finally found him and they left.
Where'd they go, Kitty?
Jeb gave him a job, Matt. He hired him on.
There. See? What did I tell you, Mr. Day? See there? Not, didn't I tell what,
you?
Did
you
I
were
tell
right,
you?
Chester, yeah.
Well, I wish him luck, but I can't see Arden Hook working on a ranch somehow. He's about the last man I'd pick out.
Matt, I've got an idea.
Yeah, what, Doc?
Well, I just remembered something.
Well, tell us.
It's nothing you don't already know, or if you just have thought of it.
Yeah, but I didn't think of it, Doc.
You ever hear of Lou Wingate?
Yeah, Jeb's talked about him a time or two.
He talks about him a lot.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Lou Wingate was killed in the first raid on Lawrence in 56.
That's right. Shot down when he was trying to give up, the way Jeb always tells us.
Sutters and Hoagler. They went to Jeb and told him who killed his brother.
So he hired Arden Hook. Hired him so as he can have him out there alone, where there'll be no witnesses.
Chester, go get our horses. It's going to be dark before we get there now.
Say, where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your car? Getting ready for dinner? Oh, I see. Just relaxing in your favorite easy chair. Well, I'd say you're in a good spot right now to really enjoy a Chesterfield. You see, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. It stands to reason. A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild, yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield. Mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Step easy, Chester.
I am. But I still don't know why we left our horses way back yonder.
Well, let's get behind that wagon at the side of the barn, and I'll tell you.
Hey, look. There's Jeb Wingate sitting with his back to the window.
Yeah. Here. This ought to do it. Now, the reason we left...
Mr. Dillon, somebody's coming. You think they followed us?
Well, I don't know, but they weren't far behind us. Now, don't let them see you now.
No, sir. Sure.
Hey, look at that, Centers. Sitting duck. We can put a rifle bullet through him from here.
It's Hoagler and Centers.
Shh, be
quiet.
I don't
understand this, Hoagler.
Why not?
Well, Jeb Wingate said he was going to kill Hook and make it look like an accident, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then why not let him do it?
Because I want Hook killed another way. I want that smart Marshal Dillon to hang him. And I'm going to make him do it.
How?
Kill Wingate and everybody will think Hook done it. He's the only man who'd have a reason, ain't he?
Yeah, yeah.
All we got to say is he killed Wingate because he is afraid of him. Still murder.
You're smart, Hoagler. I like the idea of Marshal Dillon having to hang him. Well, go ahead, shoot.
I'm going to move out there, Chester. You stay here.
Right in the back.
I got the drop on you, Hoagler.
It's Arden Hook. He's got a rifle.
Put that rifle down.
Where'd you come from, Hook?
I heard your horses coming in. I heard most of what you were telling Sinners.
He's going to shoot us, Hoagler.
I wouldn't shoot nobody. You ought to know that.
And what's the rifle for?
I'll shoot in the air to warn Wingate.
I'll kill you, you do that.
Maybe. But you won't kill Wingate.
There's two of us, Hook, and I can...
All right, that's enough, Hookler.
So, Marshal, get him. Don't shoot, Marshal. Don't shoot.
Then drop your gun, Sutters.
Sure, sure.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Go get Wingate.
Yes, sir, I'll get him.
You killed Hogler, Marshal?
Yeah, I killed him. So wonder Sutters isn't dead, too.
I wasn't going to do nothing.
I didn't want anybody to die.
They'd have killed you and Wingate both if I hadn't stopped him.
I was about to warn him. I was all ready to shoot.
It's too late.
I wasn't going to shoot Wingate, Marshal, honest.
The court can decide that, Sutters.
Marshal?
Hello, Jeb.
Chester started telling me what this is all about. I never heard of nothing like it.
Yeah? Well, Arden Hook was ready to give his life for you, Jeb.
I know. And I ain't very proud of myself, Marshal.
You got no cause to be. You know, I'd throw you in jail, but you haven't done anything yet.
I want to do something.
Yeah, what?
Hook, I didn't bring you out here for a job.
I know.
But, well, I'm offering you one now, if you'll stay.
I ain't sure I'm strong enough for this kind of work.
I don't know how to tell him, Marshal.
Why don't you tell him that you've got that kind of strength? Tell him it takes a different kind of strength to be a brave man.
Thank you, Marshal. Will you stay, Hook?
Yeah, I'll stay.
Moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better, and Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture, so Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, the frontier was buffalo hunters, trail drivers, and cowboys on the prod, but never a place for families. Yet next week, a father comes to Dodge looking for his daughter, a daughter whose name is Kitty Russell. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Harry Bartell, James Nusser, and Paul Dubov. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. So light up. Free up. Let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.